anything good needs a little editing, right? I'm Daniela Fierro, producer of Vermont Edition. We've edited this podcast for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening to our show.
Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. All across our region, Black entrepreneurs are running successful businesses, shops, and stores that cater to the needs of other Black Vermonters and to the broader population. For the rest of the hour, we are going to be joined by a panel of business owners in our state who are helping to pave the way for others in their fields. This is the latest installment of our Black History Month series, in which we explore a different element of Black life in our region. Our phone lines are open. You can call in at any point in the rest of this hour at 800-639-2211. In the studio with me today is Leroy Ned, the owner of Hair R Us in Burlington. It specializes in wigs, weaves, extensions, and other hair products. Leroy, welcome.
Thank you.
We are also joined by the restaurateur, Leslie McCrory-Wells. She co-owns Soto Enoteca, Pizzeria Verita, and Trattoria Delia in Burlington, as well as Lovestock Farm in Grand Isle. And she's also served on numerous boards of organizations all across our region, including UVM's Fleming Museum of Art, the Flynn Center, the Intervale, and an appointment on Vermont's Future of Agriculture Commission. Leslie, welcome.
Thank you so much.
And last but not least, we have BJ Robertson with us. After playing basketball in high school and college in Vermont and for the Vermont Frost Heaves, he started Blueprint Basketball, a mentorship and training program for young players. BJ, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So you three work in such different sectors of our Vermont economy, and I'd love to hear a little bit of the origin story of your businesses. Leslie, let's start with you. How did you first get into the world of restaurants?
Well, I always had a restaurant job while I was in college, and so it was just one of those things I always kind of was able to fall back on. My life partner and myself opened PK Cafe, or actually pizza. It was called Purple Knights Pizza, and then it became PK Cafe right across from St. Michael's College, and we ran that for 10 years. And at that time, I was pretty much done. I just told my friends, lose my number. I'm not interested in doing any more restaurants. And I got a call from John Rayo, who I'd been in business with, in restaurants with at Sterling Saloon Restaurants, Sweetwater's, Perry's Fish House.
Sweetwater's, rest in peace.
Yes, right. And so he called and said, I'm thinking about opening a Neapolitan pizzeria, and I wanted you to come on board. And so I just basically told him, I'm not interested, but that's how it began. And so David Abdu from Waterworks and John Rayo and myself, we opened Pizzeria Verita about 13 years ago.
Mm. We'll get a little more into this later on, because I want to hear about how each of you works with the teams of people you work with. But Leslie, you said that you started working in the restaurant industry yourself, and now you own these restaurants. Are there elements of your experiences as a restaurant worker? I don't know if you were a server or cook or what your job was that you've kind of carried with you now that you're the boss?
Yes. I mean, I did everything. So, and it was important for me that I learned to do all the jobs. So, and one of the things I did at the Sirloin Saloon restaurant group is I went through their management training program and learned how to cut fish and meat cut. And, you know, you did everything. I was on the grill. Wow. We did, you know, and I managed, you know, at the same time. So we would come in and do our prep shift, and then we go into managing for the shift. And that's how I kind of learned how to manage people and manage the restaurant as a whole.
Mm. So one of your early ventures was right across the street from St. Mike's. So you and our other guest, BJ, have that St. Mike's connection.
Yeah,
you
figured that out.
You played there for 4 years.
I did, yes.
So your business now does what I think like many athletes probably dream of when they're young, is that you can transfer your love of sports into a lifelong career, even when perhaps you're not playing on a team yourself. Yes. Was that always the dream when you were younger?
No, it definitely was not always the dream when I was younger. I just wanted to continue to play basketball, actually. And I did for a good amount of time. I played 3 years of professional basketball after St. Mike's. But in the meantime of playing, towards the end of my college career, I ended up started coaching. And then that's kind of where I fell into the love of the coaching part and mentorship of helping out with young athletes. Mm.
And as I asked Leslie, what elements of your experience as a player did you bring with you as a coach? What did you learn from that experience?
As a player myself, I was a very quiet player, but I worked hard. I picked up a lot of things from my other coaches as a young age, and I kind of weeded out the things that, you know, I wouldn't want to have, you know, or wouldn't want a coach to have. So as I evolved to become a high school coach that I am now and a youth coach, it was actually helpful having different dynamics of different coaches and different backgrounds as well.
Hmm. And Leroy, you own a shop in Burlington. When did you first open the store? How long has it been around?
Well, I actually started 15 years ago.
Wow.
And the way it started was my ex-wife at the time, she had a passion for doing hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she she was all hair, all about hair. And I decided, might as well do something about it. So she went into school to get her cosmetology license. And back then, you had to have a cosmetology license to braid hair.
Mm.
And that's what she did, braiding hair. And once she graduated, I purchased a barbershop. It was a black-owned barbershop in town. And put her in there, and she started doing her thing. The barber at the time who I bought the store from decided to stay and work for me. So now I own the only black barbershop / hair salon in town. And with that, I decided I should, you know, hearing from customers coming in all the time, like, hey, you should start selling hair, hair product. I kept listening to that and decided, you know what, I probably should do that. So I started out with, you know, a little bit of hair, with 5 or 6 wigs, you know, just a little bit of product. And I realized it was a good idea. So 3-4 years later, and we went through a divorce, and I left the business with her, and see, I always had a job, a real job. Right? So just continued to do what I was doing. And so my ex-wife, after a few years, she decided she didn't want to be involved in the retail part of the business. So she just wanted to do hair.
Yeah.
Hair. So she let go that side of the business. And I decided, after working so hard, you know, and to have someone come and take over that business, because it was a nice little niche.
Yeah.
I should just try and do something about it. So that's when I started putting a plan together and come up with what is now Hair R Us. So that was in 2015. Opened up in South Burlington, in a car garage, 200 square footage.
Wow.
Space. And after a couple of years, I ended up breaking down some wall, get another 200. Now I'm up to 400 square footage. And a year later, so that's 5 years in the making, I decided to move to Burlington, expanded. Now I'm in a 1,700 square footage place, and business is doing good.
That's pretty remarkable growth over the course of just a few years.
Yeah.
Have you seen your clientele change, perhaps as like Burlington has become more diverse?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
A lot more A lot more black people.
Yeah.
A lot of more Hispanic people too. It seems like it's a lot more of all kinds of people that shop at my store. Hispanics, blacks, even the trans community. It's a nice little niche with them. And you think about the cancer patients, people that go through chemo and losing their hair, or losing your hair for whatever reason. Oftentimes it's medical reason or old age. So you find a lot of that. People are getting older. People are getting more cancer, unfortunately.
Yeah, but lots of different people are coming to your business.
Yeah. I mean, it's the only store in the States. So you got people coming from Montreal all the way, Brattleboro, coming this way. So I got the market locked. Yeah.
Yeah. Leslie and BJ, you both have lived in Vermont either your entire lives or the vast majority. Leslie, you moved here when you were young,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
How have you seen, I'm curious if what Leroy is saying kind of resonates with you, if you've seen Burlington and the demographic of people who are coming to your business or employing your services, BJ, that's changed over recent years.
Yeah, that's changed. And it's funny because we were talking before the segment, and it's funny that, you know, you're saying that people are coming from Montreal. Well, we used to have to go to Montreal.
Nice. They're coming
New
here
York.
Now.
In order to, you know, my mom has always told me stories about how she would go with her best friend Lucille, and they'd go to Montreal, they'd go to New York to get their hair done because they couldn't get it done here. And so that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
So, yes, I do see that that things are changing in a beautiful way.
Yeah. BJ, have you noticed that as well?
Yeah. I mean, even for the kids, the youth that I deal with, I've actually had some kids still in my program that come from New York. I've had some kids from Montreal come. And same thing down in the southern part of Vermont, Rutland, Fairhaven area. So it's nice to see the kind of the growth that Vermont has made. In the right direction of kind of just expanding in these businesses.
Hmm. I wonder if there has ever been a moment in your times as a business owner where you thought, you know, I gotta get out of Vermont. I need to go somewhere, I don't know, bigger, maybe a city or just different in some way. Or have you always felt a real tie to staying in this region? Leroy, I'll start with you.
For me, I thought of it a few times, but I had ties here. I have my kids here.
Yeah.
And I always had a kid that was young enough where I can't leave. So it was not an option for me.
Yeah.
So, but I always think of it, what if, I think of places where, and I've, a couple of years ago, I wanted to expand, open up a couple other stores. So I went and do my research, and I found a couple of places. One was in a certain city in Maine, and one in a certain city in New Hampshire. I thought maybe I could have someone run the store over here, and then I could move only 2-4 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
Even that was kind of hard for me because you think of taking your kids out of school, away from the friends. And so right away it was like, I'm going to stay.
Dad is first priority.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Leslie, what about you?
Yes, many, many, many times. And I have actually done so. But I feel fortunate that I was able to do that. My ex-husband, David, and I took our daughter, Ellington, out of schools, took her Vermont schools, and we went down to Connecticut. He was doing his postdoc there at Yale. And so I ended up moving down there and being in Connecticut for quite a few years while she finished school. We wanted her to be in a more diverse environment. And so that was really important. And I didn't want her to really be raised the way I was raised, not really seeing myself, not necessarily having the support that I needed to know who I was as a black person. I certainly had it from my family. We sat around the tables, and we would one at a time get up and say, "I'm black, and black is beautiful." And that's how our parents.
I get the at a meal. Did you stand up and say that?
Yeah. So that was important to trying to counteract the what was going on during the day, and so I didn't want my daughter to go through that. So I moved her out. I've left a few times as well, and I come back because it's home. You know, it's home, and I love. There's so many things about Vermont that those of us who do stay and do come here are attracted to. I mean, being out and being able to do what I do with the farm, you know, is fantastic. Being out and I ski, and I go and walk trails, and it's a place where there are a lot of people of really goodwill. And so it's a place to come home to. But yes, I've thought about it very many times.
Yeah. BJ, does that resonate with you?
Yeah, kind of similar to Leroy. I have kids here, so I definitely have thought about, you know, going somewhere else to, you know, either branch out for this program or to coach somewhere else out of state. But it's been a blessing to be here and be able to do what I'm doing with my family and connected. And all my kids actually play basketball as well, too. So it's very nice to have that. I think maybe later in my future, as my kids get older, I might think about branching out a little bit more and probably getting out of the state. But for right now, Vermont's home right now. So.
Yeah. And I want to go right to the phones. We have a caller from Bennington, Gloria. Gloria, I was just going to say, I'm glad you are helping us get out of the Chittenden County region and to Bennington. Can you tell us a little bit about your business?
Sure. Hi. My name is Gloria Sheila. I have my business. It's a mobile business. Sheila's Mobile Braiding. And I offer braiding services across southern Vermont. So I bring, I guess, the convenience of hair care right to your home or wherever, you know, I kind of let people know I like to meet them where they are.
Meet them where they are.
Yes.
When did you start, did you decide to start your own business versus like work at a salon or something like that?
So I think I was just pulled in. This was almost 3 years ago. I just came across a post on Facebook, someone saying, "Hey, we are looking for someone to do our kids here. There's a lot of mixed race children around with no one. There's no place to get their hair like braided and such." And so, that was it. I kind of just picked up on that post and just let people know like, "Hey, I know how to braid. If anyone needs any braiding services, just reach out to me." And the town kind of picked up on it. A few people from the select board here in Bennington kind of wanted to meet up and say, "Hey, do you think you want to start a business?" And that was the furthest from my mind, starting a business. I just was doing other things. I was in the medical field at that time, in school, working at the nursing home. And so, yeah, kind of just once it picked up, I kind of left that and went to, you know, servicing people in other ways.
Well, Gloria, thanks so much for calling in and telling us about your business. Leroy, I found it interesting that Gloria mentioned that a part of her clientele is families of mixed race children or white parents of children of color who might not have the skills to know how to do their kids' hair. I wonder if that comes up with folks who come to your business ever.
Yeah, a lot. Happens every day.
Yeah.
And we do need more Gloria in Vermont, because
yes.
We have a huge shortage of people that knows how to braid hair. Like you said, we do have a lot of mixed kids around here, whether it's biologically or kids that were adopted. And yes, that's a huge problem. As a beauty supply store owner, what I do is I have contacts of people that braids, you know, braid hair. And so most of the times people, they'll ask, "Do you know anyone?" And I'll give them the contact information. But even then, like if you were to call one of these places that these salons that does braiding, I mean, you're looking at a month out, probably minimum, to get your hair done. And, you know, most times people don't have a month to wait to get their hair done. So you do have a few. I mean, we have a huge African population around here now. So you get, there's a lot of young girls, high school, college level, that pretty good at braiding hair. However, that's not what they do. They don't do that for a living. They'll do it for a friend or.
Sure.
And even though there's good money to make in that too, costs quite a bit to get to have your hair done. So some of these girls will, you know, will do a here and there. So I'll have some of them number, give this person a call. This person is good at this, or this person is good at that.
Yeah.
And so kind of, that's how I kind of navigate that particular problem to assist some of these people.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that the importance of those connections where you can refer somebody to a business and help them get the services that they need. I'm curious for you two, BJ and Leslie, if you find it helpful to be part of any sort of network of other Black business owners or people working in your fields, if that type of affinity group or conversations is helpful to you, BJ?
In the youth sports area, it can fluctuate. Some programs can have a bunch of teams or a bunch of kids, and sometimes there's only so much one program can take. So having another program, you know, on the side to help out support, or just another trainer or for basketball to help out, is definitely helpful as well too.
Yeah, and Leslie,
I think it's critical. Hmm. It's absolutely critical to, and I see many organizations coming together because we do have a greater mass of people of color here. Organizations are coming together that are very specifically in support of who we are, and you know, it's actually pretty amazing. And there's a sense that what was going on before, where a lot of us were just sort of feeling alone and isolated. There's definitely a sense that with more people of color here and with more organizations and more connections and community, it's starting to feel like we're not alone, you know, and that we're not isolated. It's not to say that there aren't great, wonderful white allies here, but there's that one of the reasons what you were talking about before, why do I leave? I want to see brown people, you know? And so when you see that here, it just feels so much better. And it's such a benefit to all of us to be able to have that growth in community.
Yeah, yeah. Well, community is what we're all about right now, too. So let's bring in some more callers. We have Emmett in Bellows Falls calling in. Emmett, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi.
Oh, unfortunately, Emmett, we were having a tough time hearing you. We'll ask you to perhaps call back or shoot us an email with, I see, a business that you wanted to give a shout out to in your region. Leslie, you just brought up these groups or networks that are supporting other Black business owners or people of color in our region. That brings to mind the Vermont POC Network. But I'm wondering if there are any, for folks listening today, maybe a young Black person in our region who wants to follow in one of your footsteps, if there are any other suggestions of networks that they could tap into to help them start along their path.
Well, to follow in my footsteps, I think one of the things that I've done is gone to high schools and talked to students who are doing things in culinary arts, and so I've talked to them about, you know, we need you in this business. But there's a lot of different organizations, like the Vermont Relief is one group that I follow, and it's a lot about and also Conscious Homestead, just a lot about nurturing oneself and taking care of each other. There's a lot of in farming. There are, you know, organizations in farming, and the communities in farming are fantastic. We have a lot of women also farmers. I think someone told me it was 41% farms are run by women.
Dang.
In Vermont. I could be wrong on that. I think that I'm pretty sure that's right, but that's pretty amazing. And there's just great communities. And, you know, I think, I don't know if you guys have some more.
BJ?
Yeah. I mean, as far as like trying to explain or show youth how to be able to be have an entrepreneur or own their own business, I think also it takes how they present themselves as a young youth person. You know, I always preach, you know, to my players, you know, it's about what you do now at a young age. And then as you grow, you can start to make connections with others as well, too. And as we know, in Vermont, you know, the Black community is expanding, but also small still in the same sense. But just trying to push to, you know, have these young youth, Black kids make more connections, and then relationship building as well, too. And I try to teach them that as well.
Mm, yeah. Leroy, any advice for young entrepreneurs?
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities out there. what I've been seeing is we have a lot of young Black men and women in this area. Very smart, you know, have the entrepreneurial spirit. However, sometimes they feel like they want to talk to someone that looks like them,
yeah.
You know, someone that they can connect with. Oftentimes they have language barriers, right? So they don't feel like they want to go into an office and sit down and talk to someone that doesn't look like them. You know, they're not that confident in their ability to communicate. So just last week I was talking to a young man. He has a photographer business. He's of African descent, and he was asking me questions, and he was so frustrated, and I feel his pain because I felt that way too at one point, right? It's being able to find someone that you can talk to and ask questions to, and they can, you know, you can answer the question in the way they'll, you know, they'll get it. So that guy had so much questions, you know, and it was good that we, you know, we ended up talking for like an hour, and I telling him, you know, what he can do, where he can go, who he can turn to. And essentially, I told him, just give me a call anytime, right? Again, we've seen in the 10 years I've been in business, we've seen the African, the Black population rose by, I think when I started initially, when I was doing my research, the Black population was like 0.5% or 4-5%. Now we're up to 1.6%. So you see how that's growing, right? So so again, if these kids that I'm talking about, if they can find someone that look like them and willing to communicate on their level, I think you're going to see a lot of these kids are rising up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I want to read an email from a listener named Becky who wants to give a shout out to a business called CutTX or CUTX Barbecue. They say it's the very best barbecue in Vermont. And Demetrius, one of the owners, has a degree in animal science and grew up learning the religion of barbecue from his grandparents and parents. Felicia, the other owner, is amazing. Their barbecue is top-notch, and their sides are classics. We have a call from Mieko, excuse me, in Burlington. Oh, hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Michaela. Thank you very much. And hi, Leslie.
Hi, Mieko.
We both served on the Future of Ag Commission. I just wanted to quickly promote Vermont Wompreneurs. We are a group that supports Wom Plus owned and led businesses, and we've been around for 7 years. But we do, as kind of what's been mentioned, is kind of the intention of small business owners, particularly solopreneurs, to come and convene together and be able to share each other's stories and hold each other accountable. And I think it's a great opportunity to be able to just see other people who go through the ups and downs of business ownership.
Mm. Mieko, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mieko, for bringing that up. It's a great organization.
Yeah, thanks, Mieko. So lots of different organizations mm-hmm. in this region and people that those who want to follow in y'all's path can look to. We have just a couple minutes left, and I'm wondering if you could each share. I'll talk maybe slowly so you can try to think. I don't want to put you on the spot here. Share a moment from your work in the last couple months of an interaction that you had either with a customer, a patron of your store, a a client, a young athlete you worked with, BJ, that really made you think like, hey, I am in the right line of work. Like, this is why I'm doing the thing that I do. And Leslie, I'll start with you.
Well, I have a lot of those moments, so I don't know if I can pick just one. But it's my role in the restaurant is really a coach now, because I have such an amazing staff. They first of all do the work without any help, but at the same time, I have a director of operations, Justin, who actually is more in charge of making sure everything happens. So I find myself really in all of our managers in a coaching role, and there are a lot of moments where people. You see people really change and get it. And a lot of, some of our staff are young and they're sort of new to it. And I just see them grow and grow and grow in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And that to me is probably why I love what I do more than anything.
Hmm.
Yeah.
A mentor, just like you, BJ. Is there a moment for you that stands out?
Yeah, there is. And again, that's what I kind of go for, is mentoring a lot of these youth athletes. And I had one, player in particular, it's probably the past 3 years I've been coaching them, and just being able to see the development myself, but then being able to show them what the change that they've made in themselves, it's kind of like it's the light bulb moment where you like realize like, oh, yes, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And it's the kind of feel good job. And it's every day, so it's but I did have one player in particular where, they're very quiet when I first met them, kind of, stuck to themselves. And now they're, out being social with other teammates and able to talk to adults, more efficiently. So it's just been a pleasure, and I've been blessed to see that growth in that player.
Yeah. And Leroy, briefly.
For me, there's a lot, but the one I would say is, when I watched a woman walked into my store with tears in her eyes, because she just came from the doctor and found out she got cancer and she's going to be losing all her hair. And I hold her and I'm like, don't worry, I'll take care of you. And a few months later, she comes back with no hair in her head. And I find a wig that fits her and that she loves, and she looked at me and she smiled, and it's like the happiest feelings you can get. She gives me a hug and she was like, thank you, I wow, feel like me again.
Leroy, you're gonna make us cry at the end of the show. Leroy Ned is the owner of Hair R Us in Burlington. We also spoke with Leslie McCrory Wells, a restaurateur, and BJ Robertson of Blueprint Basketball. Thank you all so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.